Hello, and welcome to episode 71. I'm your host, Beanish, and let's talk about board games.
My name is Andy. I play Trollbloods.
My name is Jeremy. I play Rhett and Legion.
My name is Katie. I play Circle.
My name is Nathan. I play Mercs.
Couldn't do it! Just five names!
My name is Brian, and I play Chaos? No, I play Crix.
That's okay. I almost ruined everything because I really wanted to say my name is Nathan and I play with myself.
Oh. I could edit that.
Was the most challenging thing I have ever done in my life. We're an explicit an opinionated podcast.
That is true.
Yes. If that wasn't overdubbed by somebody else saying that.
Even if it was overdubbed, we still are. Yeah. We just reinforce the idea.
Exactly.
We said it a second time.
Does that mean I can say fuck?
Yes.
Yes. As long as it's an opinion.
Usually when you say we're an explicit opinionated podcast, you then say someone says fuck immediately. That's usually the gimmick.
And then, then Beanish is like, oh, man, now I have to edit.
Which they've never actually done in the history of the world.
Lance, edit us out.
Yeah, it's always Lance's job, and he's a bad at it. Why do you suck so bad,
He edits
Lance?
Our podcast really poorly.
By the way, you owe me 2 Gallows Groves cards.
That's true.
Lance, I'm talking to you.
What? She bought 2 Gallows Groves off him, and he gave her the Gallows Groves, and she got home, and she's looking, no cards.
So that's why she cheated them against me.
No, because she had Benoth John's copy.
Oh.
When she played against you.
Oh, so they have 5 health each one, don't they?
They have 5 health each. So you actually need the cards.
Okay, so you do need
it.
The cards.
And you may have given me the card, but I don't recall it, so I'm going to say it didn't happen.
I do want to mention that Jim is not here this week because he's in the corner. Actually, he's here in the corner.
He's here in the corner. You can't see him.
He was very mean to Katie last week, as our listeners pointed out, so he's not allowed to speak for 1 week.
He's in timeout.
You know, I didn't want to say this on the forum, but I cried a little bit after the episode.
So we want to do intro our special guest that's actually going to be on mic, right?
Are we going to go forward with the interview now? Are you ready?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
he drove in for this.
He is why we're recording early is because our special guest star had to make a special trip all the way over here from his home state.
Yep. Well, he's in town. Des Moines.
You can't say.
I was leaving it secret until we actually introduced the interview. I was
building there's up more than one person in Des Moines.
And I was saying he's
not
here
that
for
people
family.
Give a shit about.
That's
You're
true.
Right. Although this person may or may not be someone people give a shit about.
he thinks they give a shit about.
Wow.
Well, I'll give one more hint. He is my bestie.
Even after he hugged other people more than you?
Yeah.
Which
he blew you off.
I know, but that's what besties are for, to get
blowing
angry
each
at each other.
Oh,
can they forgive each other? That is true. That's how besties work.
All right, so we'll go ahead and start that interview like right about now.
All right, well, I guess at this point we'd like to welcome special guest on the podcast, defending War Machine Weekend champion and former Madisonian, Keith Christensen.
I'm Keith. I'm amusing and amusing, and you can take my word for it.
Well, you ready to get started?
How's this work?
I figured we'd talk a little bit about the game, about whatever you want to chit-chat about, maybe touch base on your plans for this year's Invitational.
Wait, how's this work?
Me question ask, you answer talk.
Right. Fair enough.
So, first of all, I do want to say that I think you guys did a great job running the Mayhem Cup. I think that it was a blast and a half. Everybody had a lot of fun. Everybody enjoyed it. I mean, I guess there was one fairly public known exception, but...
Speaking of being a douche, the Texans annoy the shit out of me.
Whoa, dude, those are harsh words.
These people, the Texans, I hate them.
Do they know this?
I talked to Will Pagani about it.
Well, what did you tell him?
I think you're vile.
Well, I guess that is fair. They are pretty vile human beings. Just between you and me, what do you hate the most about them?
Cowboy outfits.
Well, I don't know. I guess in general, I just think it's best at least to pretend to like people to their faces.
That's about all I can do.
All right, well, moving back on to the topic of War Machine, have you put any thought into what you're going to play at the Invitational this year?
Searforge is a pretty bad matchup for Crix.
Really? I thought you were of the opinion that Searforge wasn't particularly good against Crix.
Keith was wrong. Searforge is terrifying. I will back that up. I will actually play Searforge that War Machine weekend.
You're going to play Searforge pure at the Invitational?
Right.
What are you, the next Rancor?
Yes.
Wow. Dude, that's quite the pledge. You got any other plans?
I'm going to be exposed.
I'm going to assume I didn't hear that right. You're going to be what?
Super exposed.
As in your genitals?
Yes.
Why?
They are beautiful.
Your genitals.
Right.
Well, there is no denying that. You have shown them to me on a few magical occasions.
You're very lucky.
Yes. Yes, I am. So, what do you plan to do after War Machine Weekend?
I'm ready to move on to 40K.
Holy shit, really?
Right. Stop asking me questions. You're awesome! I'm out.
Well, okay, well there you have it, everybody. Keith plans to play nothing but Searforge at the Invitational this year while having his genitalia exposed. Then he's going to quit the game for 40K. Also, he despises people from Texas.
So that was fantastic.
Thanks for coming. Thank you for coming. We'll see you later.
Yeah. Have a nice drive back.
See you at Adepticon, man.
Yep, totally.
We're not besties anymore.
That was a pretty shocking interview. I've never quite heard the words we used before.
That was like, seriously, that was like 3 minutes in.
We are punctual this week.
All right.
Yeah.
I like his genitals. I just didn't think he was ready to share them with the world.
Well, I was shocked too, but yeah. You know, things come out on this podcast that people are afraid to say anywhere else.
Things did come out.
like genitals.
Yeah. Like, seriously. I mean,
they were shaped like pears. It was very unusual. So I didn't expect that.
I'm really not even sure if we want him to move back to Madison.
We may have changed
our mind. Well, let's take Marshall.
Yeah. To be fair, we don't have much of a 40K meta here anyway.
That's true. We don't.
Very true.
And we hate short people, so the Seer Forge is just going to be a problem.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
next topic?
Well, are we doing tweet mails?
No, we actually dropped
nothing. We dropped that entirely.
Well, we have a topic later if we have time. We have a topic later if we have time.
Are we going to do the we had a question, or are we doing
we were going to put that one off.
What?
We decided.
We're only 3 minutes in here. Well, plus the interview time.
Yeah, we got a bunch of other things going on.
That was
live. We moved it to the end because if we have to drop it.
Lance edited that out. I ruined something.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been ruined already. There's one guy going, wait?
What?
Wait a second.
Did that just not happen?
All right, so now we're going to introduce what should really become a regular segment on this podcast, I feel.
Wait. We're already doing this.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were because I don't have anything.
We should talk a little bit more.
He's not ready yet. He's jet lagged.
All right. Yeah. Well, then do we want to answer an email? We do have a crippling email to answer.
I just asked if we had tweet mails. You son of a bitch.
I know.
I mean, otherwise, we can do my part two of Katie's Corner.
Well, let's do the question and we can either go Katie.
Which question? We had two crippling emails to answer. Which one do you want?
The smaller part. Let's not do the big one. That's fine.
Okay. The smaller one. Okay. So one of the questions we got, and somebody, it was a two-parter. And we apologize. The other one was actually going to be a little bit longer to answer. But what the second part he asked was, what do we play, not play with, but play in War Machine? What do we play that makes us feel dirty? Specifically, like, Katie dirty.
I'm really glad you said not War Machine related.
Because that could have gone just into a terrible place, I'm aware.
Jeremy's learning slowly but surely.
So, Carnage, I know you had a good one. So why don't you start while the rest of us come up with what makes us feel just that dirty?
All right. What I've been enjoying lately that has really been – I've made two people basically forfeit the game after basically setting up the game. So it's a good feeling. When you play Crix, you're doing it because you want your opponent to be crying and weeping, and you want them to really ponder why they play this game. Like you want them to have more self-doubt about what they're doing with their time than anything else. That's where the Crix – our opponent's tears fuels us. I have started to play Prime Denegra, something that's been popular for years. Probably the most popular Crix caster, but she never really meshed with my style.
I hear she's not that good.
She's amazing on every level, but she just didn't. I just didn't like her. Something about the way she looked, something about the way she talked.
It wasn't her. It was you.
Probably
one of those kind of, you know.
So anyway, I decided to give her some more chances, and I made a list. It's simply, and I mentioned it briefly last week, and this list is very mean and brutal. It's meant for my dealing with Colossals and Double Storm Maul lists. It's Prime Denegra, two Ripjaw Arc Nodes. I like the Ripjaws in this list because I like the option of armor piercing. I have Nightmare with her, which I love this idea of having stealth with her is nice. I also have the Deathjack, because it's a Deathjack. I have Wrong Eye and Snapjaw. I really love Submerge. Basically, you cannot cast spells or shoot at them. I also have two War Witch Sirens. I have two Pistol Wraiths, and I have Gormandy Wolf. I believe that's 13 models.
It's pretty dirty. I know that.
So it advances down the field. Everything but the Deathjack and the two Arc Nodes is either stealth or uncorporal. I don't know what's happening behind me here. I'm a little scared.
You don't want to know.
So
just let it happen.
I'm letting it happen. So those 13 models go down to field. Three models are in stealth. Two of them are defense 15. I play very cautiously with the Deathjack. He doesn't get ahead of my list. He'll stay behind cover and kind of move forward. And the army just advances down the field at my opponent, and most opponents can't hit any of my army until I decide to. I'll arc the crippling grasp where it needs to go. I'll pop my feet. I usually advance forward fastly, pop my feet out their army. They slow them down and just crash into them with all three of my heavies. Hit them, do so much damage that they try to attack back, but they're attacking back under my feet, so they're minus two to all stats, and then they don't accomplish anything. And then I just walk through them with the rest of my list.
I'm going to point out that the question was, what do you play that makes you feel dirty? And your answer might as well have just been blah, blah, P. Denny. Like, all those other details were unnecessary.
The thing about P. Denny, there are so many flavors, but this has been something that has just brought me more joy than almost any of this I've played in a long time.
Yeah, he's played it like 8 times, and literally 2 people, bottom of one, said, fuck it, let's not play this out.
Yeah. Well, that's not, because what happens if you face that in a tournament? You're just going to be like, I guess I'm not in this tournament anymore.
Well, that's their problem, and I tell them to keep playing. I lost one game only. I played 8 times. I won 7 of the 8. The game I lost only because it was the third list of time I played with it, and I was so surprised how much I loved the list, because I made it on a Friday night, took it to a tournament the next day, won. Actually, it was my fourth game. I won my first 3 games. I was in the finals, and I just didn't care, so I just like ran my – I was running stuff around all willy-nilly, because I was just –
Oh, I remember this too.
Yeah, I just threw the game away. I'm like, I didn't even ask my opponent what his charge range was. I just ran forward. I'm like, maybe you can go get me, maybe you can't. I didn't even care.
Were you playing against a Molot Karn list?
No, it was a troll. My mistake was the Earthborn.
Was by water?
Rough Terrain. It was by Rough Terrain. I thought only water gave him the plus movement and force gave him defense.
It's the other way around.
It's the other way around. So
if you'd known this before then...
Yeah.
You wouldn't have died.
Well, I didn't even ask the question. I'm just like, whatever. I just ran it forward. It was amusing to me. It was a fun. I mean, and I've played the list a bunch since, and I played it 4 times last week. 2 of my opponents just crumbled under it. And then even the other games I played, I won pretty easily. I've never actually had a game that was close to that list. I've just run over everyone I've faced when I've tried.
I'd like to try it against the list that makes me feel the dirtiest. Because I think my list might actually give you a run for your money. I'm not sure.
Oh, your Rhett and his list is all stealth.
I'm not playing Rhett anymore. You forget because my Rhett's not painted and my Legion is.
And I have
if you
beaten,
call that playing.
I have beat one Legion list, but I think Legion may be a weakness. I do want to play your Legion because it may be a good list.
The Legion list that makes me feel the dirtiest, and I think makes most Legion players... like you. I'd say you either love her or you hate her, but you either love her or you're dumb, is E. Lilith. Like, she's just glorious. And there's multiple reasons why she's glorious. The biggest one for me is, if you're at a tournament, and you're playing 2 lists, and you're going to play them each roughly twice that day, at some point, if all of your games go to time, you are going to want to shoot yourself. Like, by round 3, you're just going to want to die. So E. Lilith says, you know what would be fun if every game of War Machine ever ended in 15 to 20 minutes? Wouldn't that be fun? And if you won most of them? And my answer to that is yes, that would be a fun game. So I think my Lilith list, specifically because it has a Naga, and so it says your incorporeal can go to hell, I think would probably be a good matchup against your list.
Not just incorporeal, but also Menoth.
No, Menoth is not... It doesn't get around Menoth, sadly.
Yeah, it does. It makes it a magical weapon.
Oh, well, against some Menoth, but not Ifiora. The fact is, you're still fire type. I mean,
well, yeah, it's not about Assassin of the Cats. It's about the fact that Menoth walks up and says, you can't shoot any of my
cats. I say, that's adorable.
Right.
Yeah, that's true, too. But against his list specifically... I think I'll pretty much shoot it off the table from a million miles downtown. I'm fairly confident that is what will happen. But I'd like to play it out. I think it'd be an interesting game.
Next Wednesday, your list versus my list.
No, because you and Nate are playing the most epic game of list chicken ever, and you have to actually play a game.
We'll go over that
later. But they can do that.
The longer we delay it, like somewhere,
it's
like
just
next
better
November,
that way. It's like tantric war machine at this point.
Yeah.
Do I get a gift certificate for not winning a game but coming in third?
No. I'm going to go with yes, because that's awesome.
I think I
should. You made the playoffs.
I got you a Sprite Zero. Congrats on your third place finish.
Thank you.
So anyway, E. Lilith makes me feel dirty in a good way. I love her. What else do the rest of you play that makes you feel dirty?
I bring something to the table most of my opponents don't. That's what makes me feel dirty.
Why don't you clarify for us, Katie? We're not really sure what you mean by that.
Are you retarded?
Is that what you bring to the table?
Being retarded? What?
No, I'm just
asking.
It's like,
I'm aware. I want to hear her say it.
Okay.
Somebody stole my tech this past Mayhem
Con. That is true, man. Somebody did steal your tech.
I made sure that tech was legitimate, though.
Brian kept an eye on that tech all day.
Was it legitimate? Did it work out for?
It was hilarious that I was sitting at a table. I was legitimately at that side of the table, just whatever, and I noticed the tech a couple tables over, and I was enjoying the tech. And then some other guy like walked across the table and started talking to me. I'm like, dude, move 2 feet to your right. You're blocking my view. And he's like, oh, sorry. And he turned to see what was happening. And then he came around to join me on my side of the table and stood next to me. And so like 2 minutes later, there were like eight guys on one side of the table and nobody on the other side of the table. Because there was a lovely sunset over there that we all wanted to observe.
Yeah. That's true. I went over there and there was one line. Yeah.
Just shoulder to shoulder heterosexual males.
Yup.
Maturity at its finest. You're welcome.
We're proud of ourselves.
But that's the tech that I bring until I get a little bit better at the game.
So flustering 13-year-old boys.
Yeah, does that tech work well against 13-year-olds, generally speaking?
Exceptionally well against 13-year-olds.
They're so confused. They don't know what's happening.
Well, they know what's happening.
Oh, no, they get confused to the point they're like, hey, I'm just going to put my caster, not at the edge of Chromex 13-inch range, but like right there and like within
7 inches.
Walking distance.
They don't want you to have to bother with me.
But anyway.
I thought they would leave the caster like further away from you just so you had to lean over the table more.
Right? Well, he wasn't thinking clearly.
I do that sometimes, and it doesn't work as well.
Well, your tech is not as good as her tech.
I got like B cups.
Mo does the opposite.
Oh my god,
he does the ass tech. Which ass
tech? Is that like the Mayans?
That's not as good tech. I'm going to be honest.
If you're at one table, you want to distract the guy, you know, behind. Like if you're playing, you have your friend behind you back to back, and the guy who's playing your friend has to look over. He'll constantly see the ass tech.
There are certain situations where, like, if I get table side choice, my side of the table could be literally nothing but deep water to the center point, and I'd still take that side of the table just to make sure I'm facing the correct direction in the game room.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about gamers is sometimes there's a lot of ass tech out there.
Hey, they have a lot of ass tech. Yeah. They want to show us. Yeah. Look what I got.
Most people need to learn to wear long shirts.
Well, that's why it's a or team belts. Game, is you have to work together. No,
long shirts works, too.
There are lots of let's be honest, there's lots of options here.
Yeah.
They're choosing to employ none of them.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't get it. I can feel when there's a breeze, and I'm like, oh, a little bit of a breeze. I better do the old hike the pants up. Hey. And like, I just don't get the complete lack of awareness.
Maybe the parents are plumbers?
It's chosen.
So we're back to what makes us feel dirty, because I definitely feel dirty right now.
Do you feel dirty right now?
Yes.
All right, guys.
Nathan?
When it's really quick, and I do like my Damiano Pirates list, because 4 plus tough, no knockdown, vengeance, mat 9, etc. is pretty sexy awesome. But the times when I felt just like horrible about myself as a human being based on something happening on the table and not just my normal behavioral problems has got to be when countermeasure Kayazi really click. Like, there are some people that'll just ruin their life. Jordan preemptively rage quit his next game just because he was so demoralized from countermeasured Kayazi swarming his Colossal. And that's such a mean spell. And having it on Kayazi, so you can't shoot them from more than 5 inches, and when you're within 5 inches, you can't shoot at all. And their defense 17 in melee, because I sure am Rupert Pipering them, so you're never going to melee them away, and they just dry hump your Jax or whatever it wants to shoot.
You left out something. They're also terrifying. So that some enemies will just fail the command check when they get near them.
They're defense 17 in melee. They're terrifying. You can't shoot them ever. And then when they get close enough that hypothetically you could shoot them, you can't shoot anything. And then by the time you manage to actually... Oh, and then, of course, I make them literally unkillable. And then by the time you actually manage to kill them off, then I just switch countermeasures to the Risen version of those same 11 guys, and it starts all over again.
That's pretty dirty.
It might be the dirtiest trick in the Merc arsenal. Is just countermeasure in general. That thing is just horrific.
Pretty sick.
Yeah, that and the other ridiculous feat. I haven't used it. I'm going to spoil it. I don't care, because if people want to use it, they can use it. And it only works with McBain, and it's not like I'm giving extra tech to, like...
Is this Jim Tech?
Gaspy. It's me and Jim thought up it fairly simultaneously on the way back from War Machine Weekend, which is by now we all know the trick of putting tough on Risen. So... You hurt Alexia, she pawns it off on some Risen, you get to roll tough check. So every one of her hit points is tough. Well, if you make that auto pass tough, it sure is sexy times. So McBain feats and feats on Alexia, one or two other key solos, and then eight risen. And all of a sudden, Alexia has eight extra hit points against every single attack that don't scratch her at all and automatically stay there. And it's really awesome. Basically, defense 25 Alexia.
Armor 25, I think you mean?
Or armor 25. Basically, armor 25 Alexia can do.
Seems good.
Yeah, seems pretty fucking good.
Seems okay.
I guess my tech for what makes me feel happy.
Dirty. Or dirty. The word is dirty.
Same well, thing.
Dirty and happy.
If you're doing it right.
Dirty yeah. diapers.
That is true.
This diapers? Is hearkening back to my Menoth days.
Dirty boy.
No, different. Sorry, go ahead.
What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Dirty boy.
Yeah.
Dirty boy, touch me where? Why? Don't start doing that here. We don't want to see it.
Well, no, he's yeah. a dirty
boy. No, you guys are talking about he's a dirty boy and you're talking about his diapers and stuff. Whatever weird fetish shit you're into at your own house, I don't want it in this basement.
No.
Not with Jeremy not helping me.
Anyway, Andy, what were you saying? Sorry.
No, I'm okay. I'm done.
Jeremy started talking about dirty diapers and it was confusing.
Yeah, I know. No, it's harking back to my Menoth days when I used to chuck around. This will actually piss off somebody over in Utah. I like AoE autofires. Nothing makes me happier than drifting AoE autofires over everything.
And your fucking AoEs.
Yeah, I drift fairly well.
Fuck
yeah.
You.
His AoEs specifically.
Yeah. He'll shoot at like defense 10. He'll shoot at something that's knocked down and still miss it just so it can drift and hit 20 things instead of 4.
Yeah, well, that's how I do.
6 inches to the one. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, without fail.
If you ever get a chance, ask Absent or Jim how I do with my drifts. Yeah. Wait, hold on.
We're looking at him in the corner.
Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, but AoE autofire, that's it does make me feel pretty horrible. It does feel pretty dirty to just
well, especially that AoE on that stupid mouth jack. Like
yeah,
really
Vanquisher is oh that's so sweet. Really when you popping out 4 AoEs a turn, so good.
Yes. No.
Yeah,
I changed my mind. No.
I might actually switch back to my Menoth just so I can start doing that again.
He's getting a little excited just thinking about it.
It is.
That's fine. I'm a lot excited thinking about Axis. Oh, my God. Did you not read today's Insider?
No. No, not yet.
Oh, yeah. Axis.
They spoiled
some stuff about Axis.
Oh, God.
He sure does have 2 POW 14 hammers with beatback, and he has the double strike ability that Morgul has where one focus gives him 2 attacks, so he can attack 14 times with his beatbacking craziness. More importantly, his field marshal is countercharge.
Oh, my God.
His whole battle group has countercharge.
That is not okay.
Oh, it's delicious.
That's not okay.
Just spam a shitload of 3-point lights and just fuck with people.
Is countercharge a once per turn limitation or no?
Yes. Well, it's kind of a funky weird thing. It's you can use it once until the end of your next turn, or it's like it's not per turn. So like if you use it on your turn, like say you charge someone the admonition, then you countercharge them, you can't use it on your opponent's turn. Huh. But if you use it on your opponent's turn, you can still use it again on your turn.
Interesting. Okay. Well, what have you?
Yeah.
So, for the record, what I was referencing with my comment that none of you understood was a cartoon called Fantastic Max. The main character, Max, his catchphrase was, dirty diapers.
Sure it
I
was.
I shit you not. I have
you
it here on Wikipedia.
Shit your diapers. What the fuck
Wikipedia.
Is a Fantastic Max?
It's a cartoon.
Yeah, from when? And
like
who
the
cares?
80s. I used to watch it when I was a kid.
What the hell are you talking about?
Is this in the Bible channel?
No.
What the hell is this thing?
An awesome cartoon.
I was a very poor child growing up, but even I had better quality TVs than this.
Seriously, you have a diaper-wearing toddler with a mohawk named Max, who has adventures in outer space with 2 of his toys, a polstering alien doll called Twinkle Twinkle.
True to story. Yep.
This explains a lot.
And a C-3PO-like android made of blocks.
Yep.
Wait.
And his catchphrase is dirty diapers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Fantastic Max. It was amazing.
Is this wiki article written by Jeremy? Is this a completely made up?
No, this is a real one.
FX is Max's best friend, as shown in the episode Back to Twinkle Twinkle. I'm going to kill myself now.
Wow.
Andy just looked it up, and he remembers it.
No, he doesn't.
I do.
He does.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm so happy with my life choices.
Seriously.
Right now.
Wow. Happy with them?
I am.
Or just... No. That it existed.
No, I am pleased with my life decisions. It's an amazing cartoon.
No.
You guys need to all go watch it now.
No, I'm not going to watch Twinkle Twinkle and Max talk about their dirty diapers in space. This is something I can promise I'm not going to do.
It's a good cartoon.
My pants.
Yeah, that's a catchphrase. I shit myself. Flies off to fight something.
Oh, and he's loading up the comic intro. That's amazing.
No,
yeah, that's totally Fantastic Max right there.
Oh,
yep, dancing on the screen. You guys can't see this, but it's amazing.
I'm glad I can't.
It's amazing.
No, don't turn the computer around.
Yes.
Why am I seeing this happen?
There's the C-3PO robot.
Oh my
God. And the alien, yes, and then he's going to turn his sandbox into
like
a spaceship.
Rainbow Bright for boys.
It's so good.
Oh,
it
God
was
damn it,
so
I remember
good.
That robot made of
see?
Block. I have never seen
it. Oh, it was
this.
So good.
I remember
it was so
this.
Good.
Why?
It is the most yep. horrible thing I've
why
ever
do
seen.
I remember this?
I'm so happy this is happening right now.
So.
Oh, my God. The boomerang
oh, yep,
logo.
And then
the, twinkle,
yeah,
twinkle,
yeah his diaper is like his special weapon, and then his alien turns it into things. Yep, that happened.
Just so he throws his diaper, and twinkle, twinkle makes it explode things like a weapon.
Yep.
He's got his diaper back on, though.
Yeah, but he always gets it
back. He's got multiple diapers,
whoa.
Probably.
Yeah.
He wears them in layers.
Yeah. Yeah, he also uses that safety pin on his diaper occasionally. Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's amazing.
It's no Johnny Bravo.
Our viewers have to be very happy.
Hey, little girl.
Flex those pecs.
So everyone just listened to us go, oh, for the entire trailer that they can't see.
Yeah. Hey, they can turn it on and watch it along with our
they
background.
Could have watched it while
we could do like Walking Dead and be like, for your dual screen interactive experience, press play now. Lance, edit that in. Lance.
God damn it, Lance.
Danger zone.
Does Lance
apparently, because last episode he said he was thankful for the shout-outs.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he immediately said that there's no way in hell he would have read us.
Well, it'd be very difficult.
No, he said, I can barely handle one crump, was I believe his exact words.
Well, fair enough.
So are we all crump? Is that what he's going to
for profanity, I think, at the very least, yes.
Yeah, they try to run a clean ship.
Yeah, yeah, we try to keep it. We try to keep the profanity to a maximum of one profane word per word.
We keep we keep all the profanity in that one forum thread I'm using.
Oh gosh, yeah. All right, so are we done with things that make us feel dirty and move on to?
Yeah, I'm going to start playing Menoth again.
All right.
So how are we going to introduce this next?
So this is our new segment.
This is
Jeremy Tech.
This is Jeremy Tech.
Yeah,
yeah, brand new segment. Jeremy
brand
Tech.
New segment.
This is you may have a first edit here. we'll give it a couple goals.
All right, brace yourself.
He's shy.
He's shy. All right.
Second special guest.
Second special guest, yes.
Hello, and hello, Akbar. We're the most well-known rich books and studios at around the Sioux Nation. Insert this red and learn feet and nerd and tea care to clear the path to the coaster. Then turn to the bedmates. The dirt monsters. The bird to the hotels. The bird to the coasters. The bird to the army. The gun. The red board to the enemy. The main wall. I'm sorry to talk, girls.
Please continue,
sir. I'm sorry, Jeremy. I don't mean to laugh at you. I know it's offensive. You're a proud people with a proud heritage and a proud accent. Please continue.
Thank you. There's first people to run the station. You can have the way they play the pony. Let's get sweet women in the army. Let's get you a man. The man in the rabbits. Deal with the jokes and dance on your Susans. Run it on the peace words and snare your enemies. Without again being able to run a big leap. Mork, mork.
Now, the important thing is, that was an actual statement,
yes.
So we need someone can translate that, and we will send them a prize.
For those of you who don't speak Swedish Muslim, you uneducated slobs, we will post a transcript.
No, eventually. No, we'll make it a contest.
Yeah, we'll have a legitimate contest who can translate that the most accurately.
Send us your guesses.
at podcast.crippledsystem.com.
Or post in the forum thread that'll be up to.
Sure. Whatever.
Yeah, but then people will steal your knowledge.
Or email. Or email.
It could be a team thing. They'll work together to solve it.
Yeah. You know, like they have the...
like Blue's Clues.
No, we can... the internet always has those things online where it's like people work together to decipher things. If they can decipher that,
this is like a convergent concept art, except not...
Except Swedish Muslim.
Yeah, well, we could probably say, though, at least, we could say that this has been a retribution tip of the day by Swedish Muslim Jeremy.
Yes, that is definitely true.
Yeah. So it is a retribution strategy. Just let us know what it is.
And if you have any improvements for it, please feel free to let us know. It,
we might have to bring him back in a soundproof room next time.
Just, it's rude of you guys to laugh at him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
you
know,
I was impressed
it's the
by
turban that really gets me.
You know, how do you have a chef's hat turban combo like that?
I know.
Is brilliant.
I want one.
Yeah. Special order.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Well, I came.
You weren't crying.
So I would say episode 71 is going pretty well.
All right, so now that we've had some tech from Jeremy, now we have some tech from Katie.
I don't know that I can follow that up.
But we can get you a chef's hat if you want, if that'll help.
Do we need like German angry Katie?
Yeah.
Arschlock!
Arschlock! Hey, I'm Polish, and I take offense to that.
Now the form will yell at you.
Hey,
yeah, you'll be in the corner next week.
Give me a chance to talk here, Brian.
Go over there in that shower. Take a bath.
Wow.
What? Sorry.
Wow.
Wow. You dirty don't know what diapers.
You don't know what that meant?
I didn't hear what he said.
Oh,
go to
terrible.
Shower, take a bath?
No.
Yeah, you know the German showers where they...
Oh,
German.
My God.
And I'm Polish.
I've been in Germany. It's very efficient. They have good plumbing, and I'm going to pretend you're not talking about anything else.
Okay.
Neutral comment.
Although they did that European thing where the light switches are on the outside of the bathroom, so you can totally fuck with people. I don't get the logic behind that. It was like that in the hotel rooms at Mayhem Cup.
They were. I noticed that. Yeah.
So like someone's in there dropping a douche, you're just like, nighttime for you, bitch. And then how do you know when you're done wiping?
And you can't read.
Well, not only can you read, like, but when it's pitch black. Well, yeah, if you have your phone, you just words with friends. And
from my experience from hotel toilet paper, it you know you're done wiping when it starts chafing.
There's a lot of times in life when you know you're done when it starts chafing.
Good tip for and that's a technique from Nathan. We're just getting tech from everybody today.
No, but I wanted to follow up on last week's episode. So let's say that you just built two good lists by building good
lists.
Yeah,
that's fast.
Hey!
So you bring your two lists to the tournament, and you're like, all right, well, I'll use an example of that I have. So I have E. Kruger, and they're good against Crix, and I'm about to play Crix player. So E. Kruger, hands down, that's who I'm going to play, as opposed to my other guy.
In this case, your other guy would be?
Mosai.
Okay.
And then they put their giant Kraken on the table, and then all of a sudden I can't push them out of the zone anymore because I didn't do a very good job at evaluating what their list was.
Is the Kraken, is that part of some Aztec?
You're bringing it all together.
That was good. I liked that.
I am going to be pooping
Christ, red. There's a bunch of chuckleheads here today.
I would like a gallon of sugar.
Yeah, I want to warn everyone. So
we ate nothing but Peeps and caramel apples.
I know this didn't come out on Easter Day, but this is our Easter episode as well. So there were redonkulous amount of Peeps, jelly beans, Snickers eggs, caramel apples. There was a lot of sugar consumed prior to this episode.
I ate a picture of the aftermath on the
Yeah. Phone. Yeah, so we did all that, then podcasted. In retrospect, not the best decision any of us have ever made.
The crack cocaine didn't help either.
No, it didn't.
A bag of red hot cinnamon jelly beans.
That helped a lot.
I am going to shit red so bad later. It's going to burn all the way out.
You know the trailer for Ghost Rider 2 when he pees napalm?
Yeah, we should. That's coming on my ass. I am not looking forward to it. I'm going to be like...
Oh. Is that part of your ass
I just
tech?
Laughed at
yeah, my ass tech.
The cinnamon nose, like my sinuses just cleared. Holy shit.
I've been pounding on the cinnamon like it's fucking crack cocaine.
And pounding the crack cocaine like it's cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Go on, Katie.
Sorry.
Back to Katie's corner. Oh, we just... This is all Jim's broken it. You know, it worked so well until Jim came along.
I know. But anyway, I what I should have done is evaluated what was in his Crix list as opposed to just being like, oh, Crix, this is easy. Because he is probably going to take the Kraken one because he's going to assume that I'm going to take the E. Kruger list because that's the one that's good at Crix. So maybe my Mosar list would have been better because that's not what he had been expecting. So what I want from you guys, because I always get it wrong 100% of the time, is how do you play list chicken?
Before we answer, I want to give an anecdote that's way along the lines of not evaluating what's actually in the list and just looking at the overall thing. Was at War Machine Weekend when I played my 14 Vanguard list. my first round opponent was
you guess me.
No. Oh my god, Ben from Ben Iowa.
Oh, no,
no, with the pumpkin cricks. Brian from
Finken.
Iowa.
Brian Finken.
Yeah, Brian Finken. So he. There were technically two lists in that event, but yeah. I only ran my 14 Vanguards one because, come on, it was beautiful. He looked at my list and went, oh, Mercs, lots of infantry, and didn't read any further down beyond what my faction was. So he took all kinds of, like, bile thralls and stuff so he could handle infantry swarm. And then I started putting jacks out on the table and more jacks, and he just got really, really sad.
Well, same thing happened to you and me in that one Milwaukee event. You saw Scorn, so you brought out Bart.
Yeah,
you didn't realize it was E. Morgul with Silence of Death, so I completely nullified your feat. It was just you see
it wasn't part. It was McBain.
McBain, yeah,
versus McBain Pirates. So it was nothing but tough. My whole tech was tough, tough, tough. I'm like, this is gonna be great because his Titans won't get to me or anything. Yeah, who the fuck plays Epic Morgul? Like, I didn't even go down to the cast. I just saw Scorn. Okay.
Yeah. Now, I've done the same thing too. I mean, that's against Jordan. When Jordan forfeited against my, he's like, I'm playing Crix. He put down his double log gunner list and everything, and I put down my whole stealth can't be shot list, and he's like, I give up. Because he expected to be mass infantry.
Well, to be fair, he played 20 long gunners and a Stormwall.
Yeah.
But I hear the Stormwall has really good stats after it's crippling grasped on turn one.
Yeah. On your Crix list, is the Deathjack your only heavy?
No,
he's also got Nightmare.
You do have Nightmare, okay? Because yeah. I was going to say, I played Nightmare with Denny all the time, specifically because I love doing Denny with Bane Thralls and Tartar, which is all stuff.
We did agree that today that we're going to have the Nightmare and the Epic Deathjack and be a combination of Deathmare. I call it Deathmare. It's
Deathmare.
It's basically Deathjack is going to gain Reach and he's going to gain Prey
and Stealth.
But he will only with the Denny's, and then he'll cost one more point because that's
fair
enough.
Yeah, fair balance.
Sorry, I just wanted to throw that our idea.
So that's our answer.
Everyone's bad at it.
No, you are right though. I mean, I have a Crix list designed to break the mold. So if someone says they see Crix, they put down their anti-Crix. My Crix list is not Crix. The national meta, I think, if you want to get a top table, you have to have a list designed to just fuck Crix in the standard Crix in the ass. You just have to rip it across. So one of your two lists always have to say fuck Crix,
or at the very least, E-Lich, because you're gonna see E-Lich at the top.
So as a Crix player. I mean, every faction has people who look out for them, but Crix really fucking has a bullseye in their eye. So, and they're still good, because a lot of players go to an event and they don't think about Crix, and those players may be good, but they get rolled by Crix all the time. And then the top players are like, well, here's Crix, here's my anti-Crix list, smash in the face. So a Crix player has to constantly be thinking about that in list chicken and try to think have an alternate list designed for that. So that's a very important stage. You have to look at the whole list, see what they have, and then make your decision based on that.
Well, and I guess the starting point to that is there's assumptions. Like, you assume things about the factions. They have normal things that they do in general, but you need to get past those assumptions for at least the split second it takes to look at those two lists because it's way too easy to fall into that trap to go, oh, it's Crix, so I'll just bring lots of long gunners, or, oh, it's Mercs, I'll just bring infantry control, or, oh, it's Scorn, and I'll bring anti-heavy tech. Like, at least... just take the extra 10 seconds to look at the two lists, and then the way I do it, and list chicken isn't where I'm best at the game, so I mean, I'm not necessarily the best person to look at it, but the way that I do it is I look at the two lists, and I say, do either of my two lists get totally, totally boned? Let's look at this. Let me try that again. There's four possible combinations between my two lists and their two lists. And so, you know, I've got list A, and he's got B, and he's got A and B. So I look at AA and AB. The worst of those two, now I look at BA and BB, and the worst of those two, and whichever of those worsts is less bad, that's what I go with. Well, so assuming I lose list chicken, which is the less horrible way to lose it? And I kind of go that way. As opposed to going the best possible way of winning it is when I take E. Kruger and push everything out. It's if I choose wrong, which way is less awful?
So let me ask you this. I am not familiar with other people's armies yet. So is it rude or how inconvenient is it for me to be like, what are your two lists do and what do I need to look out for?
Not everyone's going to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, well, you're not going to make it that vague. You're going to give you, I mean, I would give a vague answer like, this is an armor list, this is a fast list. I mean, you're not going to get a ton of, you're going to get a brief thing.
What you want
to
learn,
look at your specific one, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'll just say it real quick. To look at your specific one, if you look at those lists, if you know that if you pick E. Kruger and he picks the list with the Colossal, you're fucked. If you know, but well, I'm not saying you necessarily did, but if you can keep it even that simple and say this one of the four matchups is super, super bad, the only way to prevent that matchup is just to not pick E. Kruger. And if your other list it can at least handle both of their lists, it's safer.
Yeah.
And I do, I go that safer route. I just make sure I avoid the worst possible matchup. Some people gamble and try to get the best matchup.
Yeah, that's not the route I go.
You try to gamble and get the best matchup.
But I play Rhett. So list, I can play a lot of list chicken. Like, Rhett's just that way. I think, for your first question, how do you even just know if you don't know other people's armies? You want to, like, learn, just at least familiarize yourself with probably the top two or three casters innate. Like, you should know what E-Lich does, just, like, general. You should know what each of the Dennys do in general. Crix is a bad example because you should know what all of them do because they're all terrible and horrible. But you should know what E. Haley does and P. Haley. You should have some idea what the two Canes do. You should, for Rhett, you should know what Ossian does. You should know what Ron does. You should, like, in each faction, if you know the ones that are going to get played, and you could just do something as simple as look at the last, like, couple Masters events, and assuming it's a faction that never makes it to Masters, see what lists are making it into Masters, and just see which casters are making it.
Something that might actually, this just occurred to me when you start talking about that, something that I've been doing a lot with my Damiano Durgan two-list thing, that would be, I think it's easier for a new player than doing that, although that's a great thing to do, because this only entails knowing your own, is if there's one thing that's super important to your list. So like my Durgan list, one of the big things it has going is Inhospitable Ground. That spell's amazing. So even though I'm fairly, you know, knowledgeable about the models, when I looked at two people's lists, I'd be like, okay, list B, what in it has Pathfinder? And they'd be like, oh, this unit, this Jack and my Castle. I'll go, oh, okay. Because I know that what I want with my Durgan list is to fuck them over with Rough Terrain from Inhospitable Ground. So, like, again, with you, you can be like, what in these lists is immune to being pushed? And that way, I mean, that's a direct question. So that is actually the required answer to that, as opposed to, hey, what's your list's general concept? And that way, you only really need to know your list, and you can kind of feel for things that are going to be horrible for it and avoid them. And so that's the thing. I'd be like, what in your list is Pathfinder? Well, this guy's this, this, and this list, that guy's got blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow, both lists have a lot of Pathfinder. I'm going Damiano.
Yeah. With Crix, I'll often ask, what has magic weapons? That's the first thing. Like, where's Aaron and Holt? Okay, I don't see her. What can hit magic? I mean, that's the first thing I ask an opponent when those
decisions. If you're playing,
that way you don't need to know their list in and out. You need to know what hurts your list and then just ask about it.
If you're playing Cro-Mac, you probably want to ask how much tough a list has, because boy, does that suck on your stalkers when you're trying to sprint away. Like that, I mean, like, you can come up with the one or two questions, like, what really bones me, and just ask. Right. That you can do as long as
what
it's
in
specific.
This list is magic immune, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I mean, Mr. Troll's over there. What in this list is magic immune? Oh, okay.
As
I'm not playing
chicken. You can have control. Like, Rhett has the advantage in list chicken. You can make a list that's just going to drop a colossal. Like, you know, Cyan.
Yep.
A list is going to destroy. So you kind of know. Well, your opponent can't pull down that list because if it does, it's dead. Of course, then you can get this alternate list chicken. Well, if I know this can't win, then he won't use it. Then
and
I'll
that's
use
the
it.
Actual chicken in list chicken. That's the who blinks first. Do they take the colossal knowing that you won't take a Cyan because you know that they can't take the colossal, et cetera, et cetera.
Like me and Nathan have our league championship game next week, and I know he really wants to play Durgan, and I really want to play E. Denny. So which one of us is going to fake it out and not play that list?
Right. Yeah.
So
Durgan's super good against Crix, but if he takes something that's super good against Durgan, knowing I'm going to take Durgan, then it hones me. But I know he's going to do that, so maybe I take something that's super good against things that are good against Durgan, and then we both just end up playing whatever anyway.
So,
why Jim wins. He just rolls to fucking die.
Yeah, Jim, that does help.
Fuck you, Jim.
Yeah, that's why you're in the corner.
Hey, fuck you.
So, like, when I sit down to list chicken, I don't approach it the way Nathan does, which is a good way to do it and probably safer, honestly. But because with Rhett, Rhett doesn't have 50-50 matchups. Like, every time you sit down with Rhett, it's like, oh, man, I'm 70-30 to win, or, oh, man, I'm 10-90 to lose. Like, that's just the way Rhett is. It just really feels that way to me.
I'd say 30-70 to lose, but that's...
It's Jeremy.
I'm 10-90 to lose. So, when I sit down, it's like, all right, I need to win list chicken. This is, like, one of the most... This is the most important 30 seconds of the game for me when I'm playing Rhett. So, when I sit down, I go, all right, of their two lists, most people in round one are going to do what Nathan said he does. So which of their two lists is safe and which one of my lists punishes it the most. That's honestly how I pick with Rhett in round one. Now, with Legion, it's a whole different ballgame. But with Rhett, that's how I have to pick. Because I have to get my good matchups with Rhett or I lose. And if I get my bad matchups are all so terrible that if I get a bad matchup, I'm just screwed. Like, there are a lot of bad matchups for Rhett lists.
Sure. One other way that you could do list chicken as well, and it's kind of unconventional, you look to see what models they have on their tray.
Yep.
You look and see, you know, you have one big scary list that you see, and then you have another list, but all you see is the other list on their tray. They're not going to play the big scary list. They're trying to trick you.
Yep. Or especially, like, people that do the double-decker trays frequently really want to play that list on top, because getting the shit out of that bottom tray and the fool tray can be a pain in the ass.
Yep.
I would like to see the statistics, but I also think a lot of people play list number one.
That is also true.
Because I purposely put the list I like better as list number two, because I have the feeling that people usually play list number one, so I'm trying to outfox people who are trying to outfox other people.
And then you play list chicken. Some guy just comes to the tournament and wants to play one list no matter what. So he has both lists out, but you can't tell. Yeah. You don't know that he's like, I want to play Cro-Mac all day. Not because he's good against Cricks, but because he likes Cro-Mac.
Yay, Cro-Mac.
Yeah, so you just don't know. So you outthink yourself, and then you're like, fail completely because your opponent's just
you can kind of look to see what a person's been playing all day. You know, if they're trying something out new, then they're probably going to go with that something new.
Well, once you're into like round two or three, I think list chicken becomes way easier, because like in a 4-round tournament in round two, the odds of somebody playing the same list they played in round one and locking themselves in for both round three and four, if it's a 2-list divide and conquer,
which most aren't.
Yeah, correct.
Well, a lot of them are at least play once.
That's still way not the norm.
That's not standard 2013.
No, because I feel like all the tournaments we go to are that way.
Not generally.
Literally just the Mayhem Cup, I think, that we've been to in
recently. Yeah,
yeah. None of the Milwaukee ones were. None of our local ones were.
Really?
Yeah. You might just do that yourself, thinking that's the rule. But
Rick's
was.
Yeah. Rick was.
I thought
at least
it was
one,
more common than that. Okay.
Giddy was trying to interject something, and it's her corner.
Yeah, it is. Sorry.
Oh no, I liked Nathan's idea of knowing the weaknesses in your own army, because it's easier to do as a new player, plus it makes you look at your list and say, well, what bones me? It helps you be better all the way around, and then you can get into the more...
Yeah.
I agree with that entirely. Once you know your own weaknesses, you can also help protect against those as well.
True. Right.
The other thing that I think is super important that we left out, and I just want to mention it briefly, is the scenario you're playing.
Yeah.
If I'm playing Incursion, I almost don't care what your lists are, I'm playing Ron. Like, unless you have Cro-Mac with a unit of Druids as an option... Like, I'm almost definitely going to drop Ron on Incursion, because he loves him some Incursion.
You're going to see Harby from Menoth. You're going to see Edeni.
I know.
I mean, I'm just saying. But
I know.
And knowing that, knowing what your opponent is going to do also could help you.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain casters that just love them certain scenarios. And so if you have at least some idea which scenarios are really, really good. And like you said, Harby's fantastic on Incursion. Edeni's really good on Incursion. Like, odds are people are going to drop Ron, Harby, Edeni on an Incursion.
Also,
what's the Incursion?
Incursion's
one?
three flags. One disappears.
Okay. One disappears. Yeah.
Also, if one of their two lists is the flavor of the month, they're going to play it.
Yep.
Yeah, if you're playing against a Merc player who has a whole bunch of new stuff that they haven't painted because they just bought all these Mercs, and one of their lists is Bart with two Galleons, guess what?
Two Galleons.
They're playing Bart with two Galleons. They're not playing their Fiona the Black list with nothing but Forge
Guard. Yeah, Crump played Bart Galleon, and he played... Constance with a million infantry. He played Constance with a million infantry twice in 2 days.
Yeah.
He played Bart Galleon every game.
Yeah. People who pick up a faction for the new hotness are going to play that new hotness.
Yeah.
And even people who already have faction. Like, they're, even if it's not conscious, there's that desire to play the new shiny thing.
I have Ymir Vahna on my tray. I'm going to play her.
Oh, my God. Right. Even if she wasn't broken as all get-out, the circle players are going to want to, you know, hit the table. Like... I'm going to play Midas with my pigs list just because he's new. Hooray for Midas.
Yeah, like I could be sitting down, like not even doing like a tournament or anything, just a casual game. Hey, Nathan, you want to play a game? Sure. What do I have in my faction that's good against Midas?
Right.
Like,
I'd like to point out you didn't play Midas against me in our league game.
I had to play Mercs.
Had to play Mercs.
I was forced by the rules of the league.
Excuses, but.
That's true. Well, you had beaten him twice in one game the previous day. I was scared.
Right. That's probably.
Plus, I didn't have my Bone Swarms yet. Speaking of people owing two cards, God damn it. I bought two Bone Swarms from Mo, and they were the Iron Kingdoms Bone Swarms. And when they rolled them out as an actual War Machine model, they had a thing where you could just email them and say, hey, give me free cards. And I can't find that on the internet anymore.
Ooh.
Maybe you can still do it. I don't know. I'll just email random privateer press
people. I'm pretty
sure
it's not true.
It's probably not
still true. It's probably not true anymore, but I mean, we'll probably do a bits order eventually.
Yeah, I have to do a bits order. I at the Mayhem Cup found out I'm missing like random pieces off some of my like casters and stuff, so I have to do a bits order.
It happens.
Like Ron's missing.
I need another couple dozen Bart hats.
That's because they're awesome.
Yeah, it's the best bit you can buy. Yeah. Bart hats and the little girl from Nightmare's Base are both purchasable.
Oh, really? The little girl? Yep. That's funny.
She's not to scale, though.
She's not to scale.
Like,
yeah.
She really
she's
is, like,
really,
a,
really
she's
fucking
really
tiny.
She grew up on the Crix Islands, so they're short.
Well, maybe she's a child of the Black 13.
Yeah, that's true.
She is a child of incest between the Black 13th and the Searforged Dwarf.
Ew.
What?
Inappropriate.
No?
We try to keep things clean here.
Yeah. When?
And you had to go to dwarf sex?
I did.
Wrong.
Dwarves can have sex, too.
I'm disappointed in you, Jeremy.
On a personal level.
Are you saying dwarves can't have sex?
After the podcast. Not appropriate.
Okay.
You're embarrassing me.
Am I? In public?
So anyway.
Speaking of inappropriate things.
Do we have our final? Is it time?
Yeah, it's time for the final thing.
You want to announce?
The final topic.
We're just letting that one go.
We all knew that pause was fake.
We're going to let that one just go.
Or just keep on going.
So now I need to run upstairs.
Don't know the lyrics. Nobody cares. Does anybody know the lyrics to that song?
No. We should have.
The internet,
speaking
does.
Of our
the internet, yes.
I'll tell you, like, I can't. I was going to mention Don't Stop Believing for our other interview.
Oh.
We should. We got to bring that.
Bring it home.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, so we are now going to our weekly our TBs.
Yeah, we could do our weekly TB. One quick shout out to Tower Games, so over in Minnesota, Beanish, who is pretty cool for letting us do this for this episode.
Yeah.
They also have a YouTube channel, Tower Games MN, that they've been they have only one video up right now, just basically previewing Mage Wars. But,
It looked kind of intriguing. Now, by the video, I've been tempted. And I will say, Beanish did an entire video. His pants stayed on the entire time. I mean,
well, you don't know that. I think it's waist.
You don't actually see the
pants. Yeah. Might be off the whole video.
So it's a whole video without his genitals.
That is true. That I will allow.
I didn't see any mature content when I when I loaded up the YouTube video. So,
So who wants to start with turd burglars? Or are you still?
Yeah, we could start with the TB.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't really have one just yet, but I. What? Well, somebody else had one.
All right, I have one. Yep. I am going to pick CNN for their coverage of the case. I think it was 2 weeks ago now with the two guys who raped the drunk girl.
And
CNN was all like, "Those poor boys' futures is ruined now." It's like, well, they did rape a girl who was drunk. Isn't her future the one who's
but
in
Brian, trouble? What you don't understand is that
they
girl wanted it because she had a drink.
Oh, yeah. Those poor.
No, they're athletes. Athletes are allowed to do
I apologize, CNN. I didn't realize they're athletes. They should be able to rape whoever
you
they want.
You didn't want to ruin their
did you,
athletic
their,
record.
Yeah, their record.
Do you not pay attention to Ben Roethlisberger?
I forgot that rape's okay if you are a sports athlete.
Yeah.
If your future includes being a rapist, it should be ruined.
Yeah. So, basically.
Wearing a short skirt?
I know what my favorite thing about that is, like, those boys have, like, apologized for the horrible thing they did. What do they apologize for? They apologized for videotaping it, not for doing it.
No.
They didn't feel bad for doing it. They felt bad that they
got caught.
They got caught videotape of it.
I'm pretty sure it's the same way my puppy has a sad look on his face when I catch him eating the cat litter. He feels bad that I caught him.
Yeah.
He is upset about that.
He's upset that you're angry with him.
He's also upset about that.
He's going to do it again as soon as that gate's down.
Yeah.
So basically,
so are you saying as soon as the gate's down, there's going to be more ravens?
Well, for real, though, if they hadn't been caught, they probably would go on raping people.
They probably
and
would.
And it's but not a rape, man.
But they might have been
they're
the
athletes.
Athletes
and they're a drunk girl. You're allowed to do them. That's how it works.
All right, sorry, I forgot again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what 4chan taught me. Or Reddit.
Yeah, Reddit.
I think like Fox News was the one who was like the most direct, like, you know, guys convicted of rape. They didn't even go. I mean, there was this someone on the internet posted this hell of a video of like all the news channels that said these terrible things. I think like Fox News eventually said something ridiculous about it, but they were like the least ridiculous. Like Fox News was like the ones.
Which, if Fox News is the one that's having the comparative journalistic integrity, what the hell's wrong with the world?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible.
So that is my vote. It's short, sweet, simple.
CNN. Or CNN or just basically news?
No, CNN was the worst of it.
Okay.
So
CNN coverage of
of the
of, that
Steubenville.
Yep. So Nathan,
mine's gonna be more specific. I'm gonna preface it with Paradox. I love you, man, but you're my nomination for the week. This could happen to all of us. Calm down with the rules lawyery nature. Like, it's sometimes we find a little like vernacular loophole in a rule somewhere, and it's like, oh, well, I'll give a perfect example. Assault doesn't work as a rule. Because assault says you charge a target and then you get to shoot them. You can't make shots while you're in melee. Nothing about assault specifically says you're allowed to shoot while in melee. So actually, you can't ever make your assault shot.
If it's a successful charge.
And if it's a, yeah, that's true. If it's a successful charge. If you successfully charge a target, you're not allowed to use the assault button fit. Obviously, that's not the case. But sometimes people get their claws into this. Like right now, the one that's going on is, he's asking if all mount attacks are by definition special attacks, i.e. power attacks, because they're not normal attacks, because they're not attacks. But it's like, dude, put the dictionary down, put the thesaurus down. We all know how the fucking rules work. Calm down, play the game.
Yeah, there's a time for crusades and there's a time for just playing the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need to, every time you see some little word discrepancy, to just go onto a gigantic rant fest. It's just, oh, it's annoying.
Yes. Yes. Especially when you get just, like pig-headed about it, because it's like, a mount attack is a special kind of attack. It isn't specifically a normal attack. It's a mount normal attack. And can a mount normal attack... It's like, mount isn't a fucking adjective, you know?
Those are especially... only defined, those type of attacks are defined by very specific rules stating what they can do for the attacks.
They can make impacts, and if you're light cav, you can do initials and additionals.
Yep.
And that's it. Those are the three things they can do. And I love that an Infernal said that, and Dox is like, I disagree. And then the Penguin's like, I don't care, Locke.
He did go off a little bit on the forums.
Yeah, no, you're normally okay, Paradox in specific, but this week you've been very psychotic about this. But people in general, just don't do this shit. Calm down.
Yeah.
My turn?
Your turn.
Yep, so we got one for CNN, and we'll do the voting afterwards.
Okay.
We might have a special guest, TB, as well.
Maybe. I am angry at Facebook, not Facebook. So people who... So right now there are a few things. I have a few examples about Facebook. Whoa. There's the whole...
Step
like.
Back.
Gay marriage thing, and everyone like posting or changing their Facebook pictures to do the little equal sign. And I don't go on Facebook to read about your political views. Like, whether you're for gay marriage or not, I don't care. I don't want to know, because if I did want to know, I would ask you in person. But I don't want to know, so I don't want to hear about it.
They're making a difference. They changed that image. That means the world is a better place.
Didn't you know if enough people change their Facebook profile, they have to fix the Constitution?
But
it's
like,
in
no,
the Constitution. It's weird.
But Brian said it earlier. It is the least amount of something you can do, but still, like, you don't accomplish anything.
No,
they're
just jerking off. They're trying to feel good about themselves.
Right. Or, like, if this gets 1,000 likes, I get a puppy. Or, like, I saw one the other day that's like, these couples have been married for 95 years. Like, and it's like, why? I don't want to see that. You know what I want to see? I want to see cute pictures of puppies. I want to see comics. I want to see pictures from people who have gone out. And that's about it.
My dad right now, he's got the cancer going on. Like, you know, one of the big things, they had to remove his whole stomach, you know, so that's kind of crazy. But so whatever. I mean, it's a thing that's happening. And I, as a family member, I want updates and everything. But his wife, she posted a picture. It was even a picture. It wasn't just she posted. Somebody had made this picture because she stole it from somewhere. And it said, like this update if you wish there wasn't cancer in the world, and then it had an emoticon frowny face in the picture, and it's like, are you shitting me? Like, really?
And how many likes did it have?
At the time, it had like three of them, because I think most people were just staring in horror at it.
But some
I
of those
have no
like,
got up to. But
some of those things,
yeah,
that
you see,
like,
some of those like a million likes.
Like,
or so stupid.
I sure wish there wasn't cancer. Well, no shit, you wish there wasn't cancer. Like, really?
But either way, like I don't, or I have one friend who's gone into being a comedian, and I enjoy his posts because they're like witty musings on things that he's come across.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
it's not you.
But dirty diapers.
But you know what I mean? Like, I want to be. Facebook is a way for me to not do anything with my time and to like not get upset about anything. But like, when people are always posting some sort of political agenda, or like, my life's terrible, or something.
I love people rant about it. I have two friends that used to work where I used to work that quit their jobs. They're both fucking crazy. So I keep them as friends because they basically post things like, I hate everything. Someday I'm going to kill everyone. Like, I'm waiting for the updates. I'm now going to start killing everyone so I know I can go hide. So I have them literally as Facebook friends just so I know the moment they go. Because they're so crazy, they'll actually post, I'm now going to go kill everyone. So I know I have that couple second leeway.
They'll check in with like a picture of them and the gun, and they'll be like, you know, so and so is at your door.
Yay, Foursquare.
I like
the mayor of your house.
The people who have updates are like, oh my god, fuck my life. And that's the whole update. It's like, yeah. Oh my god. So, like, nobody's going to ask. We're not falling for this trap. Right. Shut up and go away.
Right.
Oh my gosh, what's wrong, Steve? Rant.
Well, it's fun. When I said, like, some guy was going, like, I'm sick of people posting on Facebook how they love their cats or how they love this and how they love this. And I responded, I love Lamp. So I was like, so sometimes you have to just.
I would respond, I'm sick of people telling me what they're sick of.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my rant.
It's a good rant.
Well, yeah, it's very good.
Facebook ain't Sears' business.
Sears is going bankrupt for like the millionth time.
Serious.
Oh, okay.
Facebook ain't serious business.
Okay, got it.
Wasn't it JCPenney that was going bankrupt, I thought?
They're all going bankrupt because they're not Walmart.
Well, JCPenney's like, we're going to stop having sales, and that didn't work out very well for them.
Shockingly.
Well, because they're going to the problem with JCPenney stores, and I've told this to
the people at JCPenney's.
Everybody on Facebook?
Yeah, I worked at JCPenney's.
To anyone who's like mentioned, because the other day they were talking about at work, and they were like, I don't understand because JCPenney's is better than Store X. And it's like, well, it's not because it's like dark in there. Like, you go in, and I don't know if they use like 40-watt bulbs, and they should be using like 120-watt bulbs, but it's like physically dark when you go into the store.
You go
feels like you're going to get mugged.
You go to JCPenney's in Dubai or something?
Or at like 3 in the morning?
No.
Like, yeah, like there's gates closed and a chain, and I open the door and an alarm starts going off. It's crazy.
This place is ridiculous.
That's what you sound like in my head, by the way.
All right, I'm done.
No, go ahead.
I've been put in my place.
Now it's... Nobody put the baby in the corner.
No, we put Jim there.
We did.
Fuck you!
All right, so mine's more general. You guys have all had some fairly specific examples. Mine is going to be more general. And this is not honestly directed at anyone individually.
Liar!
No, it's really not. But, okay, so I work at a place where a lot of the people that work there hate working there. However, as has been alluded to at one point, it's a pretty damn good job. Like,
it's a damn high-paying job.
By definition, that is a large aspect of why you go to work.
Sure.
If it wasn't a pain in the ass, they wouldn't have to pay us to do it. Like, nobody pays me to play War Machine. And it's kind of a pain in the ass, but it's less of a pain in the ass than what they pay me to do. So what annoys me, and this is true for the people I work with and other people, is people that they spend their lives bitching about things that are completely 100% something within their control. Now, I'm going to use an example here that this isn't 100% in his control, and he'll take this good-naturedly, so he won't be upset. But Fat Asian brings up on his podcast all the time, oh, my house burned down. It turns out that that's a terrible, horrible thing, and you wouldn't want that to happen. But as terrible, horrible things go, it's been not the worst, most horrible thing. And that's why he's able to laugh about it. And he doesn't come around and say, oh, guys, you guys should all feel bad for me because my house burned down. But these people I work with, this is not nearly as bad as your house burning down. It's just you have a job that you chose to take that you don't like, that you come here every day, and then you bitch about being here. Now, I bitch about my job sometimes.
All sometimes? The time.
Yeah.
Like every day.
Like constantly.
Fuck you both.
You just TB'd yourself.
I TB'd myself. Oops. No, but like seriously. Like
we call that pulling a beanish in there.
Seriously and truly,
how flexible would you have to be to actually TB yourself?
There are a lot of people that really do spend their lives bitching.
Depends
and it's
on how fat you are.
It's often about something that you have under your control, or at least something you could make steps to make better. Like, there are exceptions. Like, your dad cannot do anything to not have cancer. He can't fix that. But most things that people spend their lives bitching about, they can do some sort of step to make better.
Right. Yeah. No, I've always, like, either if you can control it. And this I use it as a stress thing, not a bitching thing, but I do it for myself, and also, you know, my fiance, she stresses out a lot. And what I basically say is there's two possibilities. You can do something about it, or you can't.
Right.
If you can do something about it, do it.
Yeah.
If you can't, relax or shut the fuck up in your example.
Like there's that whole God give me the strength to change the things I can, the serenity to accept the things I can't, and the knowledge to know the difference.
It's wisdom.
Wisdom,
whatever.
Yeah.
Way to fuck up the quote.
Either
loser.
Way. Sorry.
But anyway, I hadn't been mean enough to you.
Or prayer.
No, it's dying.
Yeah, the serenity prayer. But like that, seriously and truly, like these are people that are the express opposite of that. And I want them all to die in a fire, even when they're me. And like sometimes I notice myself doing that. Like I've been bitching about work for 2 hours. Oh my God, I need to go like slam my head in the door and stop. Like even I do annoy myself when I do this too.
It's good to identify, but you are right. I mean, I can get stressed out a lot, but there's sometimes it's like, okay, some terrible thing happened, but I'm like, okay, I can't deal with it for, you know, a day or a car breaks and I'm on a Saturday, which is terrible, but
terrible.
I can't take it to the shop till Monday. So Sunday, I'm just going to chill out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no matter how mad I get, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
So,
and there are people that handle these things well, and there are people that are constantly in that stage of always being upset about things that they can or cannot change.
I read an article on cracked.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
That said that if you complain for more than 5 minutes about something, it's actually detrimental to your mental health. But
these people are ruining their lives and mine?
Yeah. Well, no, because they said that if you complain, like if something angers you and you complain about it for around 5 minutes or less, then like it relieves stress because now you've said your say. But then if you dwell on it.
Yeah. If you continue to dwell on it, you'll just.
It makes it that much worse.
Well, my TB's been going for about 5 minutes, so I better stop before it starts to mentally stress me out.
I found the fruity jelly beans.
I know. They're delicious. Hand them over.
Oh, son of a bitch.
These are actually not very good jelly beans.
Are they not? They were 99 cents.
You know, sometimes jelly beans have that like gritty filling.
Mm-hmm.
These are gritty.
Mm-hmm. What I like most about jelly beans is they have the same kind of shiny that they use for floor wax, which comes from like beetle stuff or whatever.
Beetle boo. And? Beetles are delicious.
They are. No, I mean, not
remember the big
beans,
bad
but...
Beetleborgs?
No.
Okay.
Anyway.
Somebody listening does remember it, and you're welcome, person.
So Andy's TB.
Probably
time.
Nobody.
Well, go ahead and TB it up now they gave you a mouthful of jelly beans, Andy.
Yeah. My TB is, I'm not going to really name names, but they're going to know who they are. And pretty much the community is probably in the same boat as us, is that going to a tournament, traveling super far, losing in the first round, pitching a fit about it, and going home and crying to everybody who will try to listen.
On Facebook.
As earlier brought up.
Yeah. We did kind of bring this up last week. I personally think that person needs a TB. Because, man, Fat Asian is an awesome dude. And
he's an okay dude.
No, he's pretty awesome.
I agree.
I mean, he ran a tight ship. I mean, that's almost 100 players that he had a... corral to run, you know. For
well, it's easy to do when you cheat.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've known. I mean, we've all known Brian, myself, and Nathan have really known John for a long time, longer than Katie and Jeremy have.
But we've known him a while too.
Yeah, and he's not even remotely that way. There is not a cheating bone in his body. Otherwise, he would be at Masters stuff like that.
I mean, if he tried to cheat, it would be a bad matchup for him.
Yeah, exactly.
My big claim to fame is I'm pretty much single handedly responsible for him being a press ganger.
Yeah,
nice.
He did the Mayhem Cup, and then I went. I emailed Jen, like, who was the quartermaster at the time, and I said, "You should make this guy a press ganger." And she's like, "Oh, okay, I'll think about it." And then he was at Adepticon, and I said, "Jen, this is Fat Asian. Remember, you should make him a press ganger." And then she made him a press ganger.
Yeah, so you're right the one that's responsible for ruining his life like that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. She bullied him into it. She had a press ganger on it for a little bit too.
Yeah, because he was there too.
He's just standing there. You're a press ganger too. He's like, oh. Okay.
So
he's no longer a press ganger.
For somebody to just sit there and badmouth somebody like John like that was just not kosher. And he gets my TB. I don't care.
Not his wife.
If he's a I don't care if he's a good player. I don't care if he likes to play the rules
his way.
It just annoys me.
I'm kind of recusing myself from this particular one because I do have a history that I buried very specifically. But his rant was that he was done with Competitive War Machine, and I think Competitive War Machine says, okay, we're cool with that.
Yeah, I think we're fine with that.
I think it's mutually accepted.
Yeah. So that's my TB.
Vote's a pretty good TB. No, so now we vote?
Now we all vote. We have CNN.
Right.
We have whatever Nathan said.
Paradox.
Oh, yeah.
And just overly rules lawyery douche nozzles in general.
Paradox the douche.
Yeah.
We have Katie's Facebook.
Also, I'm going to add one little thing about Paradox. He plays gay chicken wrong. Like, he goes straight to hand down the pants. You have to build up a little bit. You have to, like, you know, start getting closer and whatever.
You
but
have
no,
to put the
I'm
hand
like,
on the knee.
Yeah, like, whatever. No, it's like, okay, we're going to play gay chicken. And literally, instantly, tongue in my ear, hand in my pants. And I'm like, dude, romance me a little first. Because this isn't gay chicken. This is just rape.
Were you wearing a short skirt?
I was not drunk.
See, that would be okay with it, though.
Rape chicken.
He is not an athlete. Yeah, there's gay chicken and there's, oh my God, a crazy guy from Detroit is raping me. Is he from Detroit? I don't know where he's from.
That statement said a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Detroit likes to rape.
So then we have Facebook.
We have Jeremy.
We have whining, which is also me.
Yeah, we just basically have Beanish. I mean, Jeremy. And then we have...
And we can constantly...
To be named later.
And with voting, votes can be changed. So
are you allowed to vote for your own thing?
Yes. So we might start off, then we have to like try to buy, you know, figure out who's going to like...
I have jelly beans.
Do we fight to the death, like Ponfar style?
Oh,
eventually.
I like that.
If we have to call someone to break a tie, we call someone to break a tie.
So I imagine
can we call the person
to, like, the most,
that Andy nominated?
Give him a vote. Call him?
Yeah. Or his wife. We could ask his wife.
Yeah.
Let me text her.
Katie, what do you
think? Baby.
I think the rape thing gets it.
All right.
I think CNN's pretty good.
Katie's in favor of the rape.
Yeah. I'm personally going for mine. I'm going to vote for mine.
I'm voting for mine because I like having votes.
Well, now we have to start to have alliances here because if I don't vote for Andy's or whatever Jeremy votes for.
Here's the thing. I think we should not allow voting for our own thing. Obviously, we all think our own thing was great, but we wouldn't have said
it. That's not how TV works.
All right, hold on.
Hey,
all right, I vote for Jeremy.
I vote for Jeremy.
If I vote for Jeremy as well.
Damn it.
Jeremy's the biggest TV.
That's exactly what you do not do when you're voting for TVs, by the way.
All I know is that Devil Went Down to Georgia, the song, the devil himself is able to see when he's been beat. So if he is a good enough sport to go, I may be Lord of Lies and Evil, but you're a damn good fiddle player, my friend. You can't?
But all right,
fine, I'm a TB.
Yay, Jeremy sucks.
Yay.
I agree.
Shut up, Jim. Nobody likes
you. We're technically done. We haven't picked the country for you to insult this week.
The fuck?
The hell is going on over there?
It
stopped when I held up to the microphone.
Travis randomly texted me. He's like, are you guys recording right now?
Hey,
don't call me Sam. Hey, Travis, what's going on?
Oh, I forgot to. I was going to bet Jeremy $10 he couldn't go an entire podcast without mentioning sodomy. Because
I didn't.
You might think you didn't. It could be a drinking game. Like the last episode, like you talk about things being shoved up asses and people pushing shit in constantly. Constantly. Like, Brian specifically is about fruit, but you're just like, shove my shit in, shove his shit in, stuck something up his butt, and jealous up his ass. And it's like, you're really all about the sodomy, aren't you?
Hey, he knows it works.
Saddlebacking. Those religious people in saddlebacking.
So what? So we're not. You don't have a country this week you want to fast?
We had a whole special feature.
That was not an insult. That was flattery. We invited that person from that culture in here to speak on his views on the Retribution faction.
Yeah. In fact, we did.
The Poles?
Well, the Polish kind of insult themselves by being idiots. So
there we go.
So there we go.
That's what we're waiting for.
So Jeremy, to answer your question though, I did post a picture of us and then the tweet-mageddon is what I'll call it. Somebody did ask if there was going to be a segment where Jeremy gives more bad advice.
That's every day of our lives.
Jeremy gave great advice.
Jeremy did give great advice. Yeah. And I only give bad advice when I'm giving advice.
Right.
Only when you open your mouth.
Oh, my God. Did we do this paradox last time where you give the advice to not listen to your
myself.
Advice?
I think I did do that last time.
Because what do you do?
I know.
What do you
Mind
do?
Mind blown.
What do you do?
Take a shot.
Take a shot?
Take a shot.
Shot.
Hey, do you know the similarity between an elephant and a plum? They're both purple, except for the elephant. Boom! I threw in an elephant joke because I felt like it.
Wow.
Nothing wrong with that.
Wow.
Hey, it's April Fool's Day. We have to tell jokes. What did Tarzan say when he saw the elephants coming over the hill?
Hey.
Elephants! What did Jane say when she saw the elephants coming over the hill? Plums! Jane, sadly, is colorblind.
You like that one, Katie? Katie liked that one.
Tied them together.
Yeah, what did Cheetah say when he saw the elephants coming over the hill? Nothing. Chimps can't talk.
You said a cheetah.
Cheetah was the name of Tarzan's chimp.
Oh, okay. Duh. I didn't watch the
Dirty
show.
Diapers.
Here, jeez. I'm going to waste your time with my favorite series of elephant chimps.
Oh, God.
Fuck you, Jeremy. This is amazing.
This is pretty good.
How do you fit five elephants into a Volkswagen Beetle?
I don't know. How do you fit five elephants?
Two in the front, two in the back, one in the glove box. That's the joke. You're welcome. So, follow-up jokes.
Katie is not laughing for those of you at
home. There's two in the front, two in the back, one in the glove box. That fits. Think about it. That's five. How do you know when an elephant's been in your refrigerator? There's elephant tracks in your butter. How do you know when two elephants have been in your refrigerator? There's two sets of elephant tracks in your butter. How do you know when three elephants have been in your refrigerator?
There's three sets of
that's
elephant
right.
tracks in your butter?
How do you know when four elephants have been in your refrigerator?
There's no more butter left?
There's four sets of elephant tracks in your refrigerator.
So close.
How do you know when five elephants have been in your refrigerator? There's Volkswagen Beetle tire tracks in your butter.
Okay, wow. I'm done, though.
That was the best.
I liked the
Jane is sadly blind. Colorblind.
That was the best one.
The sadly sells it.
Yeah.
No.
Afraid not. Fuck you, Glenn.
Yeah, that wasn't cool, man.
What? You were telling a joke. Glenn helped you finish.
That's my new TB.
Also, here's the thing: is I missed the punchline because I was paying attention to Nathan and not to Glenn. And Glenn
like really soft shooted too. He was just like punchline.
I was telling a joke that was a good 5 minute long joke, but it wasn't a deliberate time waster joke. It was
no,
just
no,
a joke that
jokes.
Takes a lot of build up. Yeah. And I get to literally the last sentence, and somebody next to me just goes, "Afraid not." And that's the punchline. Just afraid not. And so Katie's watching me listen to the joke, and all of a sudden I go, and then the bartender says, "Hey, are you a string?" And then, "God damn it, Glenn, seriously?" So that was a weird joke in her book. I just suddenly started yelling at Glenn.
Yep.
And he, like, tromped away really angrily, and so it was very
yeah, Katie had to ask me, she's like, "What was the joke?"
It's a good joke, too.
So it's an off comment here, though, too. Somebody did post on our Twitter, Marauder Mitch was saying, "I thought Katie was giving Jeremy a rusty trombone equals disappointed."
That I wasn't or that
you
I were, am?
In the picture, you look like you're giving a rusty. You're doing like a kind of facial expression. Everybody listening to the podcast can see my face. That's how the internet works.
Yep.
This is how the internet works.
Thank God
that's
it's
how
not.
Podcast works.
Yeah. Yes, specifically podcasts. So anyway,
I like how we just fail at the end. We were fairly organized, and now
we're just twiddling off.
Yeah,
random. So that's what usually happens. Is like I'm doing it really well. I got a lot of energy, and then I just get tired and kind of peter off at the end, and then
well,
it gets awkward.
Said.
And you're like, do we start try to pick up the rhythm again, or do we just give up and watch Night Court?
Well, did she already fall asleep?
Yeah, if she already fell asleep, then it's just too late.
Well, the we
she fell asleep long before then. You think that stops me?
Well,
I'm a college athlete.
Oh, there's a terrible quote for our next shirt.
Oh,
I'm a college athlete?
Yeah. Those shirts are going to be glorious. All right.
All right. I think that ties up everything nicely.
Yeah.
Thanks
nice
for listening
bow.
To episode 71. Thanks to special guests, people, Keith Christensen, Muslim Swedish Jeremy, and Beanish.
Yes.
Yep.
And whatever the fuck you do it well.
There you go.